Hi, I'm KK Slider.
And I'm Timmy Nookington.
And this is the Bicods Podcast. I don't like air signs. Let's keep moving.
Oh my god.
Today we're talking about Jennifer's body.
We need to know Megan Fox's zodiac sign. Megan Fox is a... Oh my god, I just saw an interview with her.
Taurus. She's a Taurus.
And I think MGK is like a Pisces or something. Pretty sure he's Pisces. Not that I care, but...
Apparently they're very, very, very compatible.
Yeah, I saw that.
I want to know who's mine. What the heck? Yeah, they get along. I mean, they have like really cool rapport when they talk. Jennifer's body, everyone. Inverted feminism. Jennifer's body, aka Twilight for bi girls.
Please explain to me what inverted feminism is.
Cannibalized feminism. Oh my god. I sound sickly. I'm not sickly. Inverted feminism? I don't know. It's just like when she used her femininity to like go against her bestie. That's just being a bitch. That's just breaking girl code.
For those of you who live under a rock and have yet to see Jennifer's body, here's a little bit of what it's about. Essentially, Megan Fox plays Jennifer Check. Amanda Seyfried plays Needy Les Nikki. They are best friends. Jen is the, you know, hot, popular cheerleader girl. Needy is the quintessential geeky girl who's really pretty, but she wears glasses. So she's a dork. Whoa. They go to a concert one night at this, like, dive bar in their town. A spontaneous fire breaks out, and it becomes this huge tragedy in the town. But Needy and Jen make it out. Jen ends up going into this skeezy van with a small-time band that she's like obsessed with. They end up performing some sort of sacrificial ritual on her because they are under the assumption that she's a virgin. But because Jennifer is not a virgin, she turns into a succubus. And the rest of the movie... Hello? The rest of the movie entails Jen seducing and going after men and her best friend Needy trying to stop her. Yeah. So that's basically... somewhat of a spoiler-free summary of Jennifer's body.
She, like, turns into a succubus. She killed her best friend's boyfriend. And actually, when the movie first came out, it totally flopped. But now, it's... people love it.
Yeah, it's, like, kind of considered, like, a cult classic. It's definitely...
it gets a lot of hate, actually.
Yeah. And it's definitely, like, more embraced as, like, a sapphic film now than I think it was when it first came out. But it's really interesting because a lot of the articles and stuff and like reviews that I was seeing are like people talking about like that transition of like how it went to flop to cult classic was like about how when it came out, the people they thought they were making the movie for was straight men, and straight men were the ones reviewing it and they're the ones that didn't like it. And that's why it flopped. And the creators, the screenwriter and the director, who were both women, came forward and, like, it wasn't for you. And, like...
literally, they should have known that when Needy was like, you're killing people. And she was like, and Jennifer was like, no, I'm killing boys.
Literally.
Like, and y'all still thought you had a say in the matter?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
This isn't for you. This is for girls and gays only.
Seriously.
Keep your dirty paws off of Jennifer's body and Megan Fox.
Megan Fox doesn't want you.
No.
She wants to kill you.
Yeah. I still think it's cool that, like, Megan Fox is, like, an actual bisexual person who's playing a bisexual character. And, like, I don't know if she was out at the time, like, when the movie was released. I'm not entirely sure, like, when Megan Fox actually came out. But I know, like, today she said that, like, this is still her favorite movie she's ever made. And, like, she's never connected with, like, a project she's ever done like this before. And she still gets people, like, coming to her and saying, like, Jennifer's body helped me, like, realize I was gay or bi. And, like, you know, a Vicon. Like, she is a, like, living, breathing Vicon because she's...
She's arguably one of the prettiest people
ever to have lived.
She came out in May 2009. And the movie came out in 2009.
Wow, that's cool. And just like a bisexual woman, she's dating a man that looks like a rat.
She, I don't know what's going on there, but if she likes it, okay, girl. I'm not going to rag on her choices.
She's not going to rat on her choices.
Rag? Wait, is that wrong?
No. I was saying he's a rat. I was just making a bad joke. Don't mind me.
I'm not going to rat on her choices.
Yeah, Jen and Needy are pretty much like... Jen and Needy are pretty much like the only characters that matter. And then Chip is like the only other one, I guess, that's like essential to the plot. Besides like this, the lead singer of the band also, I guess, kind of matters. But
for the first half of the movie, I definitely thought this was like Jennifer Check turning into a demon and going after men. I thought was less about bisexuality and more about her being a victim of sexual harassment.
Yeah. It definitely, like...
And kidnapping.
Right. It's definitely, like, a rape revenge fantasy, like, allegory without it actually being rape. Because in the movie, Jen doesn't literally get R-worded. She doesn't actually get R-worded. But the way the scene is, like, set up, it might as well be. You know, and she still is a victim of like a violent crime by a group of men. And her sexuality does come into play because they think she's a virgin. And they're before they even kill her, they're talking about her body and her personality and girls like this and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And just talking about her like an object. So the movie like very much plays out like a rape revenge fantasy, kind of. And I think if Needy wasn't there to check Jen.
I think you could always tell that Needy like sort of liked Jennifer, but yeah. I could never really tell that Jennifer liked it. That's because it's not about that. Like, it's not really about them liking each other.
I feel like the relationship is just like, I could never tell if Jen, like, for instance, like with the big like makeout scene, like in the, I guess, like probably around the middle of the movie. I couldn't tell, like, if she actually, like, liked Needy and that's why she was kissing her, or if it was just, like, this elaborate manipulation because she was finally telling her the truth.
Oh.
But I still kind of felt that she did like Needy, but because of, like, her status in society and because of everything that happened, she wasn't actually acknowledging it, I guess. I think that they both kind of like had crushes on each other, but like as a side effect of like their environment and their socialization, it ended up pitting them against each other. And it's sort of like, I feel like a lot of like gay people now that like weren't out when they were in high school, a lot of us have an experience where we were really close with like another girl in high school, and it was just like a little different than being a best friend, but neither one of you were out or like whatever. And then shit got weird and like you never talked again, like after high school. Like, I feel like I've heard that as like a really common thing that a lot of like, especially gay women have gone through. And I guess their story kind of reminded me of that whole like phenomena. But what do you think?
Well, what part did you think might have been manipulation, like on the flip side?
I guess the only reason it struck me as manipulation, like that particular scene anyway, like the like really like big makeout scene, was because right before it happened, like Needy was mad at her. And like Needy was talking to her about she's killing people and she needs to stop. And then suddenly Jen kisses her and like she kisses her back. And it just, I wasn't expecting that the first time I watched it. It was like, you were like just yelling at her, like you have a boyfriend. Why are you like making out with her?
I think Jennifer like in that moment was being more honest than manipulative.
Yeah.
Like she seemed very, like, grandiose, like, very, like, mm-hmm. on top of the world whenever she was doing whatever she was doing.
Yeah.
So I think she did that because she, like, actually meant it.
Yeah.
And, like, probably had wanted to do it before. But I don't think there was anything, like, weird between them ever. And actually, mm-hmm. a lot of queer women don't experience that. They don't experience, like, having a best friend and then it feeling different and then not acting on it. A lot of them do. Mm-hmm. But I don't think this was one of those cases. I just think they were two, like, teenage girl archetypes, you know, like, high school nerd and high school slut. Mm-hmm. And, like, they happen to be best friends and they probably liked each other. But, well, one probably liked the other. That's what I mean. Sorry.
It's so weird.
One liked the other.
To me, when I, like, at the beginning of the movie, I thought they both liked each other because of, like, the way they looked at each other, some of the things that, like, Jen said to Needy. But then, like, post-assault, it didn't really seem like Needy liked Jen that much. Like, I feel like it was kind of weird that Needy's, like, first reaction to finding out that Jen was killing people and, like, finding out that she was a demon, instead of, like, trying to figure out how to, like, free her friend from this, she was like, oh, Jen has to die. And, like, she was,
She's gone too far.
Yeah. And I guess it was because she was, like, Needy was so worried about, like, her boyfriend. But that was the other thing. That's
weirdly
another reason why I was, like, positive Jen liked Needy, because she was jealous of Chip. And then when her and Needy, like, fell apart, she targeted Chip.
I don't know what Chip was for. Like, I get what he represented, right? Like, regular, like,
yeah,
golden retriever boyfriend. I just don't.
I feel like it was just, like, another tool to show, like, men poisoning, like, women, female relationships or whatever. Because he was just, like, another wedge in the middle. Like, if he didn't exist, I don't think Needy would have gotten as mad at Jen as she did. I feel like if Chip didn't exist, they still would have been friends at the end of the movie. And because the only reason Needy killed Jen was because Jen killed Chip.
Yeah.
So.
And you're right. It is like rape revenge, but not.
Yeah.
Like disguised.
Right. It's more of just like a thinly veiled allegory.
And it starts out like an average like 90s movie. Like you think it's going to be like. But then there's a lot of emotional weight at it. And it actually gets really scary.
I will say like, kind of going back to the like makeout scene, it was like one of the, while I still do like see like a little bit of manipulation in there, especially like after the kiss, I do think that like before it happened, that was like the most genuine we had seen Jen the entire movie. It was the first time
she like meant it, I think.
Yeah, it was the first time she just like sat down and was talking like a normal person,
because until that point she was really just kissing dudes to kill them to eat.
Yeah.
And you know, what would compel her to just do it to someone she couldn't eat?
Right.
After literally becoming a demon.
Yeah. That's what is like so confusing to me though about the relationship, because all the like desire or whatever just seems like so restricted to the point where like Needy doesn't even acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
But yet Needy has like this weird connection to Jennifer. Like she can feel her. And she knows when Jen's about to, like, do something. So there's, like, this literal, like, sixth sense connection that Needy has to Jennifer. And it's like, but why?
Because they're BFFs.
Yeah. But why doesn't it, like, go both ways? And, like, you know what I mean? So I feel like they put in, like, these little things to, like, make the audience know that they both, like, definitely have feelings for each other. But, like, without ever making them get together or whatever.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think many people who watched the movie were looking for them to get together. Because Jennifer is the antagonist.
Yeah.
She's still the bad guy.
Yeah.
And I love everything about how they made this movie. Like, all of the lines in the movie were fucking spectacular. Yes. Like, calling Aquamarine half sushi. It's just so good. Like, literally everything that came out of Jennifer Check's mouth was just writing. So good. I love that the lack of objectification of Megan Fox's body
mm-hmm.
critically destroyed this movie.
Yes.
It's just like the power. You take the hottest person on earth and then you don't objectify them in a movie.
Yeah.
It's per... We need to teach this in, like, classes.
When I was, like, looking up stuff, the director... What's her name? Or the screenplay writer. What is her name?
Oh, my God. And the Panic at the Disco song? Fuck. I listened to it, like, on repeat for days after.
I can't believe they just made that song for the movie. How unfair.
Oh, my God. And it's so good. It's so good.
Oh, okay. I found it. The writer was Diablo Cody, and the director was... Yeah. Karen Kusama, and Diablo Cody wrote Juno also.
Oh, really?
And that made like so much sense to me because they both just, both scripts are just these like one-liners after one-liners after one-liners. Like the whole movie is just like quotable, and it's like not how any real person would talk, but it's such like a sign of the times.
I've never seen Juno.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a really good movie. I
wrote it off as trashy and was like, oh, I'm not going to watch it. It's trashy.
Yeah, I liked Juno. But yeah, like, I saw so many reviews from, like, back in the day where, like, these men were, like, just so transparently being, like, oh, if you were gonna watch this to see naked teenage girls, like, you might as well pass it. Like literally saying that the entire reason that they were gonna watch it was because they wanted to see Megan Fox naked. Wow. And they didn't get it.
I'm glad that y'all sat through this movie and didn't get what you wanted. Die next time.
Dehumanize men.
2020. Next time you want to breathe, don't.
I guess one more thing that like I wanted to talk about was kind of like how, like, why do you think that women and like queer people love the quote sinister woman so much? Like, why do we like love seeing women be like monsters and villains so much?
Who's we? The proverbial like, we?
Yes. Yes.
Because she's not a virgin anymore. Right? Like, women are only sweet and nice when they're virgin children.
Yeah.
Literally, that's it. It's because, like, the whole daddy view complex. Like, mm-hmm. She's only nice and sweet and innocent and can't hurt anything when she's a kid and she's a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment she's not, she's disgusting and she's wrecking homes. And,
yeah.
Right?
So now that I think about it, it's kind of like what happens after the horror movie villain kills the girl having sex. Like, you know how that's like a trope in a lot of slasher movies is that like if you're having sex, you're going to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to be the first to go. And this is like after the villains tried to kill the girl, but she didn't actually die. And she came back and she got revenge. And I feel like a lot of like the villains, a lot of female villains are like, they're not the villains to us. Like, you know, the TikTok audio and they're like, to you, like the, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I can't think of it. It's about you. Wanda. Yeah. Yeah. But like, we don't really see horror movie like female villains as villains a lot of the time. Like, there's like this good for her complex because it is like this fantasy of like what we wish we could do, again, the proverbial we, what we wish we could do to men for the way that they treat us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think you like see that kind of like in that one shot where she's like wiping foundation all over her face and like, and she's like looking in the mirror and she's wiping the foundation all over her face. And then like in the background, it's like a picture of her nice and pretty before she got, you know, sacrificed or whatever. And she's like broken when she's like putting that. She's like, it reminds me of like that Fleabag quote where she's like, if I'm not fuckable, then like, what's the point?
Yeah.
And she's sort of like having this moment. She's like, I have to kill men because if I'm not pretty, I'm nothing. And like, the society, you know, like destroyed her and like she's getting revenge. So we root for her.
Yeah. Because she was seen as like the school quote unquote slut.
Yeah. Like the queen bee.
And it's like, well, what if she just went buck wild?
Yeah.
What if she just retaliated? I don't know. Not that like that's appropriate retaliation.
Yeah. Was this like considered like a, I know that it was written to be like a sapphic movie. Like, I know that was the intention.
Really?
Was it? Yeah, it was. Or at the very least, it was like a commentary on, like, that was the word I was looking for earlier.
I'll take commentary.
Commentary. That was the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
At the very least, it's like a commentary on female relationships and like stuff like that. But I don't know if it was considered like this like iconic gay movie until recently, or if it was received like that when it came out. I mean, I was fucking 13 when it came out. I don't remember. But
you don't know if it's what?
I don't know if it was like originally received as like a gay movie back then.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Probably not, right?
No.
Yeah.
Even though Megan Fox did come out that exact same year.
Yeah.
But no, I think if they like announced that it was going to be like a gay movie kind mm-hmm. of, it wouldn't, probably back then in 2009, it wouldn't have gotten as much recognition as it did, which in turn got it all the hate. But still, yeah. Hate is still publicity, mm-hmm. right? Like, just it's just like the wrong people with the wrong opinion who yeah. all had a voice at that time. So, yeah, that's why it's doing so well now, because yeah. we actually have queer film critics.
And I think it's like partly due to like a post Me Too world where like people finally, like a wider audience was able to watch it and be like, oh, this is a rape fantasy allegory. And like, mm-hmm. I think that's another reason it got popular. I also read somewhere that the studio, when it was releasing it, like, did not listen to the writer and the director at all about marketing, and marketed it purposely as like this male gazy like movie about hot teenagers. Like, they marketed it as if you were going to get to see Megan Fox naked.
Love that. I love that they did that.
And then, well, the problem with it was, is that they did that. And that's why it ended up getting all the bad reviews, was because, I mean, I think it would have happened regardless, just because of like,
yeah,
most of the critics are white hetero men anyway, but they marketed it like that. So people were going in and expecting that, and then they didn't get it. And then it ended up flopping because all of these men who were upset because they couldn't live out their pedophilic.
But it was a good movie despite everybody's yeah, saying it was bad. Yeah. So it's still like, I'm glad they did that personally. I'm still yeah. glad that they made a movie written the way they wanted to, yeah. with the message they wanted to, just to like, you know, as a big like fuck you to everybody who didn't like it. They didn't yeah. like it, fuck you. Like, it's not for you. So
it's not for you.
I like that. I like that they didn't announce that it was gay off the bat, because you just want your movie. Imagine making a movie. Sometimes you just want it to be recognized as a movie. You don't want to categorize right. it right away, mm-hmm. like right away, you know? And for everybody to hate it, like, it's still a good movie. It's just the wrong people who
yeah
said that about it.
I always wonder, like, if it could have gone any other way. I think a lot of people,
it's biased,
describe Jennifer's Body as, like, before its time. But I feel like Jennifer's Body couldn't be written today. Like, I mean that like specifically from like a language standpoint. I think one of the biggest reasons people love the movie so much is because of the writing. And I feel yeah. like the writing could have only been that when it was written in 2009. Totally. So I feel like the only way this movie could have worked out was flopping in 2009 and being a cult classic now. Like, it's, it was just
kind of a golden thing.
Yeah, it was like, I think that's a pretty big phenomena with movies, though. A lot of like cult classics now people didn't appreciate back in the day when they first came out.
Do you have a favorite quote?
I personally, when I'm on my deathbed, am gonna say my tit before I take my last breath.
Just like yell it out. Like, that's the thing that was hurting you the whole time and mm-hmm. caused your death.
She couldn't even show an emotion in death.
Oh my god.
What was that? What was that other one? Oh, the half sushi one. We already said that. What was your favorite quote?
That was
quote?
A good one, too. That was probably one of them. The other quote I like the best is, do you buy all your murder weapons at Home Depot? God, you're butch. Oh my god. I just love it. I just love it.
And the, you're totally lesbigay. From that random bitch who said lesbigay.
I wish we had this lingo now.
I know. Bring it all back.
literally bring it back.
All back.
We could just
me and back. You single-handedly,
literally.
But yeah, I love this movie. 10 out of 10.
Oh, you have to formally rate it, madam.
Oh, right. Okay. How many Biff necklaces out of 10 would you give Jennifer's Body?
Out of 10, I would give it 8 Biff necklaces out of 10. What about you?
I would give it 9. Even though I literally just said 10 out of 10, I would give it a 9 Biff necklaces out of 10 in a more official sense.
That's good.
Yes.
Because it's fucking bomb. Because it's fucking good. I love this
movie. It's such a good movie.
I think it's only going to age better.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be like, we need to put Jennifer's Body in a time capsule only for like the next race of humans to find in 100 years or some shit.
I'm going to buy it on DVD. I swear to God. Please. If it's the last thing I do. Okay. Tune in next time where we'll be covering long-standing series, short-standing series.
2 seasons?
Feel Good. Yes.
Very good show. Streaming on Netflix.
It's really good.
It's very good. Oh, and we're also going to be doing like a mini me atypical follow-up in the Feel Good episode. So tune in, everybody.
I watched that whole season in like a couple days. Anyways. Really? See you.
See you next time.
That's the only one who came to mind.
Is Kim Kardashian a Virgo? Wait, no.
Pause.
Everybody,
no, she's not. Yes, we're keeping this in. Kardashian. Why? How do I not know?
I feel like she's not a Virgo.
Oh, she's a Libra.
Ah, yeah, then it was her birthday because she's before.
A Pisces moon. Got it.
Her and Taylor have a lot in common, huh?
Do they? Oh my God, Sagittarius she's... rising. Is that? We need to tell. What do you think she thinks?
I'm gonna start calling her Kim and not tell her why.
I let. Wait, we have to start doing that. Can I join?
Yes. Thank you for listening to the Vicons podcast. Music by DaVinci_Beats. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate, review, subscribe, and share. It helps us a lot.
To keep up with new episodes, you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok @Vicons Podcast and Twitter @Vicons Pod. See you next time.